song has been a reminder, a very needful reminder in my soul and life. We don't know why the Lord sent us back to Hong Kong. But he has a purpose. Leaving friends here and leaving the people that we love dearly here, it's a hard thing. But God, He knew what He's doing, and we are thankful that we are in Hong Kong. And as you see in the video, how the challenges in Hong Kong are big. We have political challenges, and also in the daily living. People have been to Hong Kong have this comment that Hong Kong is like a big shopping mall. It's a super big shopping mall, and you see miles and miles of shops and restaurants, hotels. Material and physical pleasure is just like within your reach. It's a challenge to help young people, especially who grew up in that environment, to understand why do I need somebody, you said God, who's I cannot see, who I cannot touch, and I don't know him, rather than having this material and this pleasure that I can have right away. And so I would imagine this scenario in my mind oftentimes when I'm going to church on Sunday, just like this morning, and somebody stopped you at the church door or at the parking lot. In Hong Kong, it would be on the sidewalk, and ask you, why do you go to church? What is the blessing is about going to church? And what would I answer them? And what would you tell them? With some of the sayings behind, I mean, in the following, would some of your answer, like, blessed is the person whose mom and wife or wife cooks French, Italian, Chinese, and or Japanese. Would you say, blessed are those who, especially for young people, who know how to drive, who have their parents buy them a BMW, and even would not bother asking them where they go? What about, blessed are those who bought their houses with an all-time low mortgage and locked up in for 20 years? Hong Kong people would really love that. Come to church. And of course, those who are more in their years would say, may say, blessed are those who manage to have early retirement. I think some of you have retired already. What about having early retirement and still have all the wealth and stamina to go to do whatever they like? But all those blessedness in people's mind are common wishes and desires. The Bible says in Psalm 1, a very familiar passage, about a blessed man is like a person who would be reading the Bible, who would not gathering with the sinful, wicked people. He would not make decisions based on people's opinion. And in fact, Psalm 1 paints this picture, and the most important part of the picture is that this man is like a tree. In Psalm 1, verse 3, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This is the most important part of the picture that the psalmist is painting for us. This man does have prosperity, but the prosperity in itself is not directly related to material possession. It's not directly related to the pleasure that he can have in the physical realm, but the kind of life, the kind of sustenance that he receives, like a tree planted by the water, and he bears fruits, and he have greens on it, even in adversity and in extreme condition. Material possession or prosperity is not what the Bible teaches us to have in order to have blessedness in the Lord. Blessedness in the Lord or I should say, material possessions is taught in the Bible in many, many passages about its danger and about its the snare behind it. There's another passage I'd like for you to look at, and it is in Proverbs 23:4-5, actually 4-8. Proverbs in the Old Testament, once again, use images to describe, to give us the reason why we should not pursue for material possession, physical pleasure. Proverbs 23:4 says, "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, on this wealth, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven." So this is a picture of the possession that we have, the wealth that we have. It would grow wings on it and would fly away like eagles towards heaven, disappear. It's telling us we should not labor with the intention to get rich, because riches are not dependable. It must not be our source of security.
Amen.
It will disappear. Think about the hurricane that's just swept through those nations and islands and states. People who have houses, you know, this masterpiece of his whole lifetime standing before him, but it just disappeared in a matter of minutes.
That's right.
And I remember this mother of a young people in California. She was a very successful businesswoman. And she got some kind of a mysterious heart virus in his heart, and she had a heart attack one night and was gone. What would you do if you have millions of dollars in the bank account and you have a heart attack? What is it good for? And the Proverbs passage is also telling us another, giving us another picture about not pursuing physical pleasure. And in verse 6 it says, "Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating, telling you, 'Eat and drink,' he says to you, 'but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsels that you have eaten and waste all your pleasant words.'" This is telling us that we should not labor with the intention to get physical pleasure or getting rich because of its sorrowful and humiliating consequences. All the effort that you put in pursuing material fulfillment, according to this picture, is like somebody giving you something good to eat. It's like some delicacies before you. And we will be thinking, "Oh, this is great. This is going to be a lifetime's experience." But the passage is warning us that it would amount to something that is totally opposite to what is fulfilling. You will have to vomit it up. Those things, once that you thought was delicious gain, but in fact, years later, sometime later, you have to return it back in disgust, in disappointment, in torment, like vomiting it out. And you would realize all the effort you have put into it, like pleasant words, would be wasted. What despair, what pain that is. As I pointed upon the fact that I need to bring our young people who grew up in such a materialistic environment like Hong Kong, to realize those are not blessings from God. You have to pay the painful and sorrowful and humiliating consequences in the end if you pursue that like there's joy, there's fulfillment, there's security in it. How do I bridge that huge gap with blessedness in God, which is you cannot see right away? As I study the Bible, especially on the blessed sayings in the Bible, I come to the conclusion that there is clear teaching in the Bible what blessedness is in God. so that I can tell those people that is what you should pursue rather than the material pleasure. The Old Testament is actually that have many, many blessed sayings. But when we come to the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount and the Gospels are loaded with the blessed sayings. So let's turn to those that very familiar passage in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. And verse 3, our Lord, after, of course, he came to this world, he lived for about 30 years, and for the first time in our human history, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was declaring facts about his kingdom, how a person can enter into his kingdom, and in fact, enter into full blessedness in God. And the starting point is, in verse 3, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. The beginning of true blessedness is realizing that we are poor in spirit. This word poor here, you may have knowledge of it already, meaning it means a beggar, knowing his destitute, how destitute he is before God. But the word beggar, in our modern days, has lost its meaning in many countries, especially in the States. We might think of the homeless people as beggars. But in fact, they could still go to find some help from the government, from food banks, but they are not willing to. A beggar, in this passage, in fact, is telling us one who is totally helpless, destitute without any means of having any sustenance for life, just daily life. I remember seeing this beggar in China, and he had no wrist from his both hands, and he has no low legs down from his knees. So he was begging with like a bowl before him, and he would be walking here and walking there to let people know he's helpless. Because when he walk, he has to use his bow forearm like two crutches, and he has to stand every step of the way as he walk. And what can he do for a living? Literally nothing. He had to live by the mercy of people around him. This is such a beggar that Christ is talking about in this passage. When a person realizes he's absolutely helpless and destitute before God, and he needs him every day, every moment of the day, he begins to enter into blessedness. He begins to have the opportunity to experience full blessedness in God. And Christ continues to say in the passage, let me turn it back. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Because such a person, he starts to understand that he has offended God. That's why God is so far away from him. But he has grace and mercy to him. He would then be mourning for his own sin. The word mourn here literally means lamenting before our own grave. I don't know if you can imagine that moment when you are before your own grave and you are facing eternal hell. And you tell to yourself, no, oh no, I have no chance. I have missed the opportunity. What's the feeling? Oh no, I better do it earlier. Some young people may not have the experience of somebody having a death in the family, but you might have lost your project, on your thumb drive. You spend a whole week and whole month doing your project, but it disappeared. Will you cry over your computer? I would. I would be lamenting over the death of my file. I really would repent from what I did. I should have prevented it happening. So if we lament over our grave, we mourn for our own sins, it means, oh no, I have to prevent from that eternal destruction, which would mean it's a one-way road. I can never return. I better get right with the Lord, because I realize now every moment of the day I need Him. And such a person would continue to experience this blessedness in God, because Christ says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." They shall be fulfilled. So in fact, this Sermon on the Mount, blessed sayings, if you summarize it in one statement, I would say blessedness in the original means happiness, true happiness. Blessedness belongs to the man whose life is saved and changed by God's saving grace. And his heart fulfillment, satisfaction, is in Christ alone.
Amen.
With that thought, you know, blessedness is a saved life, a changed life, who experienced this whole realm of promises that Christ has given in the Sermon on the Mount. His heart fulfillment, joy, and security is all bound up in Christ alone. I'd like for you to ponder upon three principles very, very briefly. First of all, blessedness, true happiness, security, complete fulfillment cannot be manufactured by man. Cannot be manufactured by man. We oftentimes deceive ourselves that, well, if I get that job, I will be happy. When I have that person in marriage, oh, I'll be happy. Or I just live with her, I'll be happy. Maybe I just click that button and get that pleasure. I will be joyful, happy. But that's not true happiness. That's not really fulfillment, because this is our manufacturing that pleasure. We are taking it in our hands. We are bound to be disappointed. Because when we think about possessing earthly pleasure, be careful about this evil character behind it. Proverbs describes it like a person who's stingy, who's not giving you delicacies, but afterwards you're going to vomit it up. You're going to be in disgust, and going to be in disappointment, and in torment, regretting what you did. And the second principle I'd like for you to ponder is that blessedness is only in God, in Christ alone. We have people who think that they don't need God because they have the ability, they have the knowledge to overcome and to solve any problems in life. Well, there are sometimes tough times, some challenges, but he just, you know, if he could just resolve in solving the problem, he could ride it out, you know. Every storm come, I just hang in there, and the tomorrow will be better. The person, he doesn't realize that he is totally helpless, destitute. He needs God's help and grace. And so Christ says, in the parable of this man who built his own barn bigger, right? And Christ says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lay up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Yes, he might have ability. He might be able to build bigger things despite the obstacles, despite the hardships, and maybe even relational-wrenching, heart-wrenching moments. He's storing up those things for his use in the future. But Lord says, no, the timing is in my hand. You may not be able to ride it out this time. True happiness, security, and complete fulfillment is only found in Christ. You have a life planted deep in His. You have this source of joy and source of peace and source of security and fulfillment despite the desert condition. This is a semi-desert, right? Despite the desert condition in your life. No heat is going to wear you down because you are having this cool and life-refreshing life provision from our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be amazed if you are in those moments and you find God's Word comforting you, encouraging you, and lifting you up. I remember I may be running out of time. I remember one time in our church, a Christian family went to Maldives, this island country. Yeah, for vacation. Well, this family is quite unusual in Hong Kong. They are doing business with those travel, so they have cheap tickets going over there. But then they ran into something that we never would think happened. A tsunami happened in the sea. And this low, very low island, I think he said the highest, we lie the top of this floor, you know, the highest place in the whole island where they were. And the dad was trying to comfort his children and his wife, and they were so anxious. So the dad texted me. He said, "Pastor, I didn't know what to do. The tsunami is coming, and we are all the people on the island is going up to this floor, and that is the highest we can get. Only second floor." And what I could do, I could only think about is text him back Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want."
Amen.
You know, then the passage, after I sent it to him, the dad later on told me, "Oh, I have such peace just come through my heart that I could never do. I was trying to comfort my family, trying to say this and that, right? The trust the Lord, but God's word itself, through Christ, Christ says his word is life."
Amen.
It's what our life needs, what our inner person, our soul needs. And it's condition like a desert condition, in a hurricane condition, a tsunami condition, what can calm your soul? What joy can you have? What security can you grasp onto? It's Christ. Christ alone. And his family was waiting for the tsunami. And eventually they said the tsunami came, but it's about 1 inch high. Very, very low. So they were thanking God. The Lord heard their prayers and heard the people, God's people's prayer. Lastly, I want to have you ponder upon this principle, and that is blessedness. That means true happiness. True happiness, security, and complete fulfillment is a promise with a delayed realization. Christ has promised it already. The Old Testament passages have many, many, assurance to us that blessedness it belongs to God's people, but it has a delayed realization. We need to wait on Him. When that temptation come, when the indecent and immoral images came across your iPhone or came across your computer screen, resist it. This is not true happiness. This is not fulfillment. There is an evil snare behind it. We need to see it as what it is. See this nature behind it. So that we would say, if I ever enjoy it, I devour it, I have that pleasure, and that is sin, according to God's word. When we are able to resist it and do what God wants, what is pleasing to Him, God says, you are going to experience full blessedness because He has promised it. But we have to wait on Him. We have to trust Him. I'm not saying that man had any wisdom better than God, but I just want to briefly mention this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, as he understands the contrast between pleasure, instant gratification, with true happiness. This is what C.S. Lewis says. He said, "I doubt whether anyone who has tasted it, the true happiness, would ever, if both, meaning pleasure and true happiness, if both were in his power, exchange it for all the pleasure in the world. But then joy is never in your power, in our power, and instant pleasure often is. Joy and happiness is not in our power. It's in God's hand. We need to wait on him. But instant pleasure, instant gratification is within our reach, but it is not true happiness. It is going to drag you down, it is going to hurt you, and you are going to regret. On the mission field, and also serving the Lord around the country, we have story about spiritual leaders sinning, losing their effectiveness, being defeated. There's one major reason is that they have maybe engaged in an immoral relationship, or they might have engaged in internet pornography, or maybe just some people problems that the leadership is not willing to deal with according to the Bible. Because in their hearts, I would suggest that they have not found complete happiness, true happiness, security, and complete fulfillment in Christ alone. That's why somehow they want that thing. Somehow that dragged them down and undermined God's work. I hope in your life you would be able to tell something that you are not maybe willing to let go. Sometimes it's your marriage. We always think, oh, maybe I should have a different spouse. That would be happier. No. If you are married in God's eyes, God says it's for life. The reason why we are still thinking about other things is that the fact that we have not found true happiness in God, in Christ alone. We have not been truly fulfilled by Christ. Sometimes we'll say, oh, this church leader, I actually can do a better job than him. Right? And we want a different church, different man, different lady. But in fact, God can use them. God is using them. The problem is with our own heart. We don't have true happiness, security, and complete fulfillment in God, in Christ. And that's why we want other things to please us. May God help us in your own life and in your community. If we want to be strong soldiers for Christ, we want to witness and help people to come to Christ, our life oftentimes speak louder than what we say. And I don't want to be a leader or somebody who leads a person to Christ and sin and fall before his eyes, so that I'm not bringing glory to God, but really bring shame to him. May the Lord help us. Hong Kong needs your prayer, and Ruby and I need your prayer, that we will be the kind of servant on the mission field. Yeah, so we pray. Father, we are grateful, Lord, this day we could ponder upon your word. Lord, I pray that we would all truly be willing to see how poor we are before your eyes, and that apart from Christ, Lord, we have no means of coming before you, before your throne, and to be truly blessed according to your word and your promise. I pray that, Lord, we would find true happiness, security, and complete fulfillment in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we could be strong in the Lord and serving you and loving you and truly give glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.